Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John Couch, engineering and producing the program. John on the other side of the glass, but together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. It is Friday, July 24th, 2020. We are live weekdays during the noon hour right here on 1030 Tucson's Voice for trusted news talk, worldwide live listening, and podcasts of our program available 24/7 at buckmastershow.com. Our media partners, thank you very much to TucsonSentinel.com for prominently displaying the Buckmaster Show logo with a link to their particular website and to my website, the Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun, the local Tucson media group, and its portfolio of publications, which includes Inside Tucson Business, the Tucson Weekly, Oro Valley Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert Times. Our Friday Focus interview today is with United States Representative Raul Grijalva, Democrat representing Arizona's 3rd Congressional District. He is also the chairman of the Natural Resources Committee, joining us on the other live line for our conversation with the Congressman Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Arizona Daily Star, where she is the editor of the opinion page and writes a column. Ladies first, Sarah, how are you?
I am doing well. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for asking. Congressman, how's it going?
It's going okay. You know, you know, we have so many urgencies in front of us.
Yep.
And the fact that there is not, at this point, not any serious negotiations going on with the Senate and the White House relative to what kind of relief package, stimulus package, whatever you want to call it, is going to go out to deal with the testing issue and now also the delayed testing issue results, the opening of schools and the resources that public schools across this country are going to need in order to be that the children are safe and that you can have some and that employees are safe. But more importantly, those resources are going to be needed regardless of when you open. And
yeah.
I think for Arizona, until this spread is in level of containment and going dramatically down, it's going to be premature to talk about school opening when you still are not dealing with the reality that's in front of us right now. And economic thing, unemployment extension, stimulus extension, some support for people that through no fault of their own have lost their jobs and find themselves unemployed. And that is going to be a crisis by this weekend because that's the unemployment compensation support and benefits begins to run out real quickly.
Let me ask you, before we continue on with the prospects for a second stimulus check for many Americans, this was a very important week for you personally, a landmark week. You have championed for years, Congressman, both permanent authorization of and the full funding of the Popular Land and Water Conservation Fund. It's known as the LWCF. And now it looks like that's going to happen. Those funds pay for everything for local playgrounds to national park expansions. It's a big deal, isn't it?
It's a big deal. Also dealing with the backlog of critical maintenance needs in our national parks and public lands. And also didn't get much attention, but funds for the immediate maintenance and renovation, and in some instances, construction of new schools for the Bureau of Indian Affairs. You know, the urgent schools that are falling apart that were built in the 50s and the 60s, and one in the Otham Nation itself has been in dire situation for 3 to 4 years. And the list goes on. So that I was happy that relief was there also. But it's not only permanent; it's also $900 million per year, which doubles the amount that'll be available. And it goes all over. It's not just about the acquisition of land in holdings and willing sellers to you know, expand like Sahuaro West or Sahuaro East, which those acquisitions need to happen, but also, you know, green spaces, rec areas in urban communities and in rural communities in which there is not enough. And I think it, with everything else that's going on and the disillusionment that I think many Americans feel given this pandemic and given the economic hardships that have befallen the nation, that this might seem frivolous, but it's not. I think it is a hopeful sign, and the legislation, and more importantly, it's in those occasions in which the system works the way it's supposed to work: bipartisan, give and take, make some agreements, and come up with a piece of legislation that is, quite frankly, better than I thought it would be. And so, it already had passed the Senate, it passes the House. Trump's daughter said he would sign it, so I'm taking her at her word.
All right, let's bring in Sarah Garrett Gasson from the Arizona Daily Star. Sarah?
Yeah, Congressman.
Hi.
I think it was
talk to you again.
Hi. Yes. Was that last week that there was your Zoom meeting that you had with local school leaders, teachers, superintendent, kind of taking a look at what do we do as a state, as communities, trying to get kids back into the classroom or at least in some sort of school? And with the governor basically saying yesterday that it's up to districts to figure that out, what are your thoughts about that kind of non-planned plan?
Yeah, it's the same non-planned plan that happened with regard to, okay, I'm going to leave it up to cities whether they want to mandate anything relative masks, relative social distancing, mandating, being responsible for the testing and the follow-up and the you push the decision off to somebody else. But I think in this. I'm actually think that it is a good sign because I'd rather that school districts in southern Arizona and anywhere in this go through the deliberate process of consultation with parents, with the people that work in our schools, particularly educators, support staff, and follow whenever CDC running does its final guidelines, which they haven't really done yet, that you bring in experts, that health experts and public health experts to help guide this decision. You know, the urgency is there. I think nobody questions the fact that kids learn better person to person. No question about it. But, you know, we also don't know about transmission levels of children, how they're affected, and who other people they affect. So those questions have to be answered. Then you're dealing with the communities, and in some communities more than others, where the infection rate is really high, where the spread is high, and those schools located in those neighborhoods and those zip codes, you know, their vulnerability is higher than somewhere else. And so all those things have to be factored in, and I think that that process of consultation and school district, but what a school district need is not, they don't need any blackmail. They don't need to be threatened with losing funding if your enrollment isn't where it should be. They don't need to be on a timetable that is not realistic. And from the federal perspective, the supplemental support that school districts are going to need and schools in general are going to need in order to do this right. Because we are talking about a pandemic and we're talking about kids. And I think, for families, children cut across all lines. They're the priority, and political, racial, demographic—I don't care. And putting the interests of those children and the people that care for them in the school and educate them in the school—that's going to be priority number one. And I hope everybody's very deliberate about it. I would rather err in the side of being cautious then do something presumptive, because people need somewhere to want the schools open, or people have to go back to work and need to have a place for their kids. All those are important and real reasons. But, you know, that right now the priority is health and people's lives. And I think this is where this government and this Congress need to step up. I thought we did with the HEROES Act to put a significant amount of money to supplement schools, because it's not going to be cheap.
And along those lines, talking about, digital learning through Zoom or other means requires not only a computer or a laptop or phone or tablet, but Wi-Fi and connectivity and data capacity that a lot of families just don't have, especially if you have more than one kid trying to do online learning at the same time. We had a piece not too long ago in the Star Opinion section arguing that data and Wi-Fi capacity should be considered a utility, more like electricity and just a necessity. What are your thoughts about that?
Part of the infrastructure bill that came out of the House is a big emphasis on broadband and accessibility, and that it needs to be. It is part and parcel of our lives now, just like flipping on a light and having access to the utilities that we have now, our lights, our gas, mm-hmm. our warmth. And now this is essential. I think during this pandemic, as the online became the emphasis for schools, the divide became really, really obvious, you know? And, mm-hmm. you know, hot spots like libraries, people would park outside so their kids could do their homework because they didn't have that access. I understand, that this is now a necessity. It's not only the mechanics of being online, it's the access, and I think that needs to be treated more as a public necessity, i.e. utility, than simply as a matter of just entirely a business enterprise.
All right. I think we'll take the break here before I get into the issue about 25 million Americans who are going to have a problem meeting their rent August 1st. There are so many issues happening here. The extra enhanced federal aid is about to expire. I'll tell you, the clock is ticking, and it's ticking right here in the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing Zocalo Village studio. We'll take the break right here. Congressman Raul Grijalva sticks around for another segment, as does the opinion page editor from the Arizona Daily Star, Sarah Garrett Gasson. Stick with us. We have a lot more to cover right after this.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is in the process of developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, and soon will consider which projects best address transportation needs across the greater Tucson region. As part of its ongoing public outreach, the RTA invites your early input on which projects meet regional goals. Learn more about plan development and provide input at rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing Zocalo Village studio. Our Friday Focus interview today, United States Representative, Democrat District 3, Raul Grijalva, who is the chair of the National Natural Resources Committee. And we had a call during the break, Congressman. This is more of a question about why the Interior Department has decided to dam the Little Colorado River. Do you know anything about that?
Yeah, that's been something that this administration has been trying desperately. And one of the concerns that I have and our oversight part of what the committee does is the decisions and rollbacks through executive decision that are being made, whether it is the damming question here that is going to be very difficult for them to carry out given the time and given the way that the fortunes for this next election seem to be going, that they won't be in a position to do this. But it's not only that. It's the rollbacks. It's the waivers on royalties, on extraction. It is the proposed uranium mining in and around the Grand Canyon. So, you know, these things have been going on for three years and 8 months, you know, and you know, when you put a former lobbyist for industry in charge of EPA, a former lobbyist in charge for industry in charge of Interior, and same with energy, the tilt has gone completely the other way, in that there is no multi-use, it's one use, and that is where all these resources and damming the Little Colorado River, the effect on water resources generally downstream, the effect on Grand Canyon, and more importantly, the effect on the region as a whole, and 40 million people that depend on the water that flows from the Colorado now, all get jeopardized. And I mean, that is going to be full of litigation, and hopefully, and if the stars align the way they should and the way they appear to be aligning, we'll be dealing with a whole different administration and a whole different attitude with regard to this question. And the threats that we see right now will not come to pass. But yeah, they're serious, and this has been ongoing for 3 years and 4 months.
All right, let's bring back Sarah Garrett Gasson, the opinion page editor of the Arizona Daily Star, into our conversation. Go ahead, Sarah.
Thanks, Bill. One of the things among the many, many, many things that comes out of President Trump's tweets and his statements is scare tactics and fear about voting by mail running up into the November election with, you know, amid the pandemic. How do we do this? How do we do an election? How do we vote? What are your thoughts about voting by mail and the security of our voting system? And what do you think is going to happen come November?
You know, one of the questions that goes around, the Democrats are going to be are taking this for granted. They're going to be complacent. No, there's no complacency. I think everybody understands the urgency, and certain the voters do, and it's been represented in 218 and early primaries have represented the same thing, a huge turnout. And, you know, when you got 69% of the people want to vote by mail because of the pandemic, those numbers are going to continue to increase. And the fact that Trump is making this the issue, I think it's a voter suppression strategy. It is a strategy to question the legitimacy of the outcome at the in November. And I think that's something that we have to be very, very alert to. You know, there's $20 million set aside for litigation and preventing the vote by mail across the nation that the Republican National Committee and the Trump allies have put aside, including legal and volunteers to be at polling places. So, you know, I think voting by mail is essential in this campaign. It has created bigger turnout than we've ever had, and that's been reflected when the city went that way. Then the turnout jumped 10, 20 points. So I think it's going to happen again this election. I think we have to be very vigilant, take nothing for granted, and understand that given the fact that this there's no stop signs for this president, he runs right through them, that a real effort to try to question the vote, because of vote by mail, or to suppress and make it difficult for people to vote in this election cycle, in a general election, are realities, and the issue is to be prepared for that, because I'm convinced that's going to happen.
What is your thought on the federal intervention in what the president calls high-crime cities? And this kind of harkens back to 1968. Richard Nixon became kind of the law and order candidate. Some of your thoughts, please.
It's a playbook. It's probably one of the few plays left in the Trump playbook. He can't run on the economy. He can't run on what he's done about the pandemic. He can't run on corruption inside in government. What he can run is on bringing up the old ghost of law and order, and I'm here to protect you. And I think what's going on in Portland is a federal overreach in terms of you weren't invited, and that's the key thing. It's not that they're there, but they're there by invitation. They're not there by invitation. And the fact that we're using DHS, ICE, and Border Patrol as the principal agents that are involved in that brings up a lot of questions as well. And I think that we have to be really conscious that there are some constitutional protections there. You know, nobody is saying that lawlessness should be allowed. I think it is a campaign strategy to say, I'm the tough hand here. I'm going to go in here and clean this up. It's ridiculous, and it is threatening, and constitutionally breaking a lot of norms. And if you just step away for a second and look at it objectively, it is an authoritarian act on the part of the President of the United States, and, you know, that's not what this democracy is about.
Now, the big question, will there be a second stimulus check, in your opinion?
I hope so. I think you know, there's enough Republican senators that are in tight situations, including McSally in Arizona, that need to be thinking about the stimulus for working families and people. They need to be thinking about extending unemployment. They need to be thinking about what do we do with it, with the extending the evictions moratorium. and helping out property owners, the landlords or whatever, by directly supplementing their loss as well. You know, what's happened with the pandemic is everything's a domino, my friend. And so it's not just you deal with the schools in isolation of anything else. It's attached to the spread. It's attached to testing. It's to infection rates and everything else that's going on in Arizona. Unemployment, same thing. You open too soon, you have to close, and more people are out of work and now lining up to get unemployment again. And evictions, people being thrown out of their house. And so everything is, it's a domino effect, and you have to comprehend that. And saving lives and trying to stabilize this economy is going to cost money. And, you know, I didn't hear this gnawing of teeth of, you know, Senator Cruz or the rest of them about, oh, my God, we're spending too much money, when we gave away $2 trillion to the 1-2% wage earners in this country, the wealthiest, the $2 trillion that in tax cuts. Didn't hear a peep then. This is an investment for working folk that don't have the advantage of wealth, that live based on their job, and their job is not there yet, not there right now, and we have to intervene and help them, help the schools where their kids go to school, and keep a roof over their heads. Simple as that.
All right, let's bring Sarah back into the conversation. Go ahead, Sarah.
We've been getting a lot of letters to the editor and about concern about what you were talking about briefly a minute ago about federal agents in Portland and the overreach and real concern and fear about what is happening on America's streets and what President Trump is doing with these federal troops. And one of the themes seems to be, what do we do? What, since everything, all the checks and balances seem to be falling by the wayside or not mean that much when it comes down to it, what can a citizen do? What do we do?
My response is this one, and it's not the, you know, Congress has a responsibility to check this map and a responsibility to do oversight. And as much, you know, and I really think that citizens that feel that this is not their America anymore, that it's turning into something else, an aberration that they don't understand, and they understand the norms of and the need to control the federal overreach. You know, people get elected, and I hear when they go back home to Arizona, those elected officials in Washington say a whole different nuance to what they talk about back home. But when they come over here, they're either silent about what's going on, and if they're Republicans from the same party, they're mute about what's going on. I think that's where the pressure is. That everyone that can check and balance this president at this point in history, whether it's about voting or the creep factor of overreach at the federal level with law enforcement assuming a role they constitutionally can't, which is providing the law enforcement for communities, you got to put pressure. The people have got to be part of that check and balance. And right now, particularly in the Senate, that check and balance doesn't exist. And consequently, this president rolls along because there's no stop signs. And one of the stop signs is the Senate. And the House is putting up stop signs, but it's not enough.
You know, you were talking earlier about the situation up at the Little Colorado River and uranium, that issue at the Grand Canyon. I'm just wondering about, you were saying, well, things will, you know, if things change in November, it will be going a different direction. I'm just wondering, if things do change in November, what will happen to this border wall and what's been going on at the Oregon Pipe National Monument, Congressman?
You know, there's two. Everybody talks about what the new vision would be for education, for interior, for health and human services, for all the principal functions of government. and for Congress in terms of good legislation getting done, and hopefully in a bipartisan way. There's a long-range vision. But I think the first task is repair. We have a repair job on our hands, and part of it is to recover from this pandemic and stabilize ourselves and protect ourselves for the future. The other part is the repair to our institutions and to our norms. And that repair work involves undoing some bad things and changing some things that have been done. But that will require repair, because in 3 years and 8 months, there's been some serious things that have been done and many levels that require that those be cleansed and be repaired. And so I think the first task for a new administration is not so much how am I going to implement my vision, is how I'm going to repair the damage that's been done and then implement a different vision.
So you're saying that could be a priority number one, almost, the repair.
It has to be. Yeah. It has to be. I mean, whether it's the wall, whether it is walling up the San Pedro River, whether it is what we've done to immigration services and naturalization and citizenship, whether it is the name a topic, and you can't just leave them there and accept it and build on top of it, because the base will always be wrong. And so you have to repair that and clean it out, and then you can start building something different. We're going to have our hands full recovering from the pandemic, but that shouldn't prevent us from repairing some of the really deep damage that's been done to our institutions and, quite frankly, to the confidence of the American people in their government.
Sarah, do you have some final thoughts before I wrap it up?
You're back soon. What's it like with, is everyone wearing masks? What's your day-to-day?
Yeah, and then what normally would take maybe 2 hours worth of voting takes 5 to 6 hours, because we do it so we're not all in the same room at the same time. And then the second thing is the same thing with hearings. It's kind of like we're in a parallel universe to some extent, but still carrying out the function, but it's different. And, you know, the city here, D.C., is, you know, the mandating masks, mandating many of the establishments are closed. Very, very serious about, you know, controlling the spread here. And so that's markedly different from the things that we see in Arizona.
All right.
Yeah.
We will leave it right there. Congressman, stay safe, stay well. Thank you very much for being on the program. Thank you.
Thank both of you. Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. Sarah, please stick around. I've got got a few things to talk with you about, and then we'll take our break, and then I'll come back with Sarah Garrett-Gasson of the Arizona Daily Star. You're listening to The Buckmaster Show, our Friday edition in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. We'll be right back.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Our thanks to Congressman Raul Grijalva for a very good conversation about what's going on in Washington right now. And also our thanks to Sarah Garrett Gasson, opinion page editor of the Arizona Daily Star and columnist for the Star. And Sarah sticks around. I've got a couple of thoughts that I want to share with her and get her views on. But Sarah, I think the big question is what TUSD, our largest school district now, will do in light of what the governor, I hate to use the term, kind of kick the can down the road as far right. as schools reopening. But I think that's really where we're at. It's up to every individual school district. And I wonder what TUSD is going to do.
That is the big question. I mean, I do have to say that when the very first emergency order went out about the stay at home that Governor Ducey did way back in the many, many moons ago, it feels like, we were critical of him because and specifically in that emergency order, he said that local municipalities could not do anything more strict than what he had laid out for the state. And that was something that we on the editorial board at the Star and a lot of other people thought went too far, that this should be a local issue to at least in some degree of how safe, what safety looked like locally. So I thought it was a good move when he, I mean, I wish he would do a state mask mandate, but short of that, I thought the going to local decisions was probably the best we were going to get in terms of control over public safety locally. And I think possibly, you know, maybe it's the same with schools. I think if you're TUSD, your needs are vastly different, even across the district, than if you are in Ajo, for example. So I do think that local districts, local superintendents, and board members do know their community best, but there is also a big lack of leadership in terms of here's how we're going to support you, here's what needs to be done, here's kind of a grand plan. So it's kind of patchwork when it shouldn't be, but it's also hands off from the state in a way that I think could be helpful. As far as what TUSD does, that is a big open question because they serve so many kids with so many different needs and circumstances that what the congressman was talking about, you know, families and homes in areas where there's a lot of spread of the virus, areas that don't have broadband access like other parts. So I think they have a very complicated road ahead.
I still have a lot of questions. I've had a ton of questions since St. Patrick's Day and, you know, with this whole deal. And I'm still trying to sort this out. So if TUSD decides, well, we want to go all online, is that okay? Or does the state require a presence in case parents want to bring students for face-to-face instruction? Can you clarify that?
My understanding, and remember that I am not a state official, but my understanding is that schools need to offer at least some opportunity for kids to show up in person because families need that. And there are different ways you can do that. There's been talk among districts about kids come to the classroom on, you know, different days. So they're not there all the time. The teacher might be remote. The other half of the class might be remote. And then they switch, kind of a split squad approach. I've heard about some districts considering. So, but yes, I think logistically, there are kids who will need a place to go during the school day, and that districts are required to at least have that option. Whether or not that means a teacher has to be in front of the classroom, I don't know that that's a requirement, but people need a place to go.
Then there's the whole question about the University of Arizona, how all that is going to be pulled off. 20,000 students perhaps back on campus. Boy, I don't know how that's going to work, but they're going to try,
yeah.
I guess. They're going to try.
They're going to try, but I've heard other people say, you know, universities can't keep students from binge drinking, you know, or sexual assault or other, you know, really big major problems. How are they going to make sure that students are being safe when they're not on campus?
Yep.
And the other thing, I mean, and how far does that reach go? I saw, you know, thinking about if you have a party and you're off campus, that could lead to a university discipline. How do you do that? It's such a big open question, and a lot of I'm not teaching in the fall, in part because of all of this, but it's a big question that the professors I know are really struggling with. And what happens if students don't want to come back?
That's right.
You know, we shouldn't assume not every student is going to a giant party. You know, there are a lot of students who don't, you know, who wouldn't want to come back in that situation, and I totally get it.
I do, too. What's coming up in the Arizona Daily Star this weekend, Sarah?
Well, it is the 30th anniversary of the Americans with Disabilities Act on Sunday, and so we will have a piece about that and how that relates to COVID-19. I should also point out that it is my dad's 80th birthday. So happy birthday to Dad. I will not be writing an opinion about that. But and we have an interesting piece from Jonathan Hoffman about Worldview Enterprises, and another one of our local columnists who's just a gem is Renee Schaefer Horton, and she's writing about what other places have done over the years and held school outside during the tuberculosis time, and just some different interesting ideas. And she's always such a great read. So those are some of the things coming up on Sunday.
And now the big question, what about Olivia, the Wonder Wiener dog? How is Olivia doing? And I think Olivia is probably there with you.
She is. She is about 2 feet from me. She is sleeping, but she perked up when she heard her name.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she, my apartment flooded yesterday.
Oh, no.
Came over. The complex had an Airbnb. We spent the night. It's been great. It's been fine. But she's had an adventure. So she's a little tuckered out from, you know, smelling an apartment that looks just like our apartment, but with different furniture. So
I'm glad they could accommodate you there. That sounds like it wouldn't have been fun otherwise. Sarah, it's always a pleasure, and I do hope you and Olivia stay well, stay safe, and one way or another, we're all going to get through this together, and hopefully it will be on a positive note. Thanks.
Absolutely. Thanks, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Sarah Garrett-Gasson, she's the opinion page editor at the Arizona Daily Star, also writes a column. Coming up next, Mr. Matt Russell with Weekend Watch. I'm really excited because today is National Tequila Day, and that's about the only spirit, as they say, that I will consume. Has to be a real nice Blanco, but we'll pick up on that after we take the break in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Be right back with Weekend Watch.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority Plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, the RTA Board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for the draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Jeanette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Ah, that wonderful bump music, Stir It Up by Bob Marley, signals another weekend on The Buckmaster Show and another Weekend Watch presented by our friends in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. You can start your trip planning And we hope you do by visiting southwestnewmexico.org. You'll find a list of great places to stay and many things to do. The longtime host of Weekend Watch, award-winning Tucson publicist, Inside Tucson business food and beverage columnist, a very dedicated foodie, Mr. Matt Russell. Matt, how's your day going, buddy?
My day, well, let's just say this. I have four letters, Bill. T-G-I-F. Enough said.
Yeah, we'll just keep it at that. There is good news for tequila lovers, of which I am one, but of a particular tequila group. I love the clear, the Blanco tequilas. But the good news is, today is National Tequila Day.
It is, and let me be the first to wish you a happy National Tequila Day, and on a Friday, no less. You know, I certainly would never consider limiting my agave consumption to one day out of the year, but today is obviously a great day to celebrate this desert spirit. Now, you're going to find tequila specials all across town, but up at Blanco, one of your favorite words,
there
Blanco
you go.
In La Encantada, they're offering 2-for-1 margaritas all day long when you order them to go. And if you're like my wife and me, your strategy would be 4 for the price of 2. Just do the math. You can also follow my lead by adding a short rib and charred onion cheese crisp to the order, which has always been one of my favorite starters. Please sip responsibly, Bill. It's National Tequila Day.
Yeah, and there are medicinal effects of that wonderful agave juice. If you don't believe me, just Google it. Tequila can be good for you. So check that out.
Absolutely.
There you go.
You speak the truth.
Yep. What's this about? You know, we have some great kind of breakfast places. Another one is coming on the horizon.
Sure has, Bill. And, you know, and even in these challenging times, we're still seeing new restaurant openings, which I love. This week's news is all about snooze on Grant and Tucson Boulevard. They call it an AM eatery, so expect some fun dishes and drinks for breakfast, lunch, and brunch, including an impressive lineup of creative Benedicts and French toast dishes, even 5 different items in the category called Pancake Utopia. Now, they even have several Bloody Mary options, with one that I think has my name all over it, because the mix is made from beef bone broth.
Whoa.
Get the weekend started. I say hit snooze this weekend. Get it? Hit snooze this weekend.
Yes.
And welcome them to the old left level.
That's great to see, too, another eatery opening up in these very challenging times. So that's good news. What's going on at one of our favorite places, Hacienda del Sol?
Yeah, for years you've been hearing me talk about the wine and spirits program up at the Hacienda. Well, they're going to be the place to be tomorrow and Sunday from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. for what they're calling a cellar reduction sale. Now, they are bursting at the seams, spirituously speaking, of course, and they have 800 bottles of wine and
Whoa.
Liquor that they need to move. Pricing will be outrageously low, like even up to 25% off retail pricing, prices you'd get them at the store. So you're bound to find some keepers no matter your budget. I'll be there to pick up some bottles to add to my own cellar, and if there's some premium Blanco tequilas available, I'm sure I'll see you there too, Bill.
Yeah.
At the Hacienda tomorrow and Sunday.
Excellent tip. Matt Russell, have a great weekend, my buddy.
Cheers, Bill. See you
Thanks
there.
A lot. Matt Russell, our longtime host of Weekend Watch, the Buckmaster Show, is presented by Bill Buckmaster Communications, which is wholly responsible for the content of our program. Original theme music by Chris Stefan. There's a link to him and his work at buckmastershow.com. Always a big thanks to Rose Brandt, who gets all of our podcasts ready to go. And John Couch, of course, engineering and producing our show. We thank John for another fine program. The entire team here at Bustos Media Tucson, all of us wishing you the same thing, a safe and pleasant weekend. Talk to you on Monday.